You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boomer and Gio, Coney live from the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network as we were talking about this Ranger Game 7 victory with Jerry Recco last hour. You brought up the name of someone that we know and love who is a huge Rangers fan and someone we have had on the show many times, the great Mikey Nichols, who we have done the Mikey Nichols, Mikey Strong charity hockey game for and developed a strong relationship over the years. And at 3-1, not a lot of people were feeling good about the Rangers' chances. They had put together some really ugly games and really ugly periods. But Mikey texted you, Rangers in 7, when they were down 3-1. And here we are this morning, the Rangers and the Hurricanes getting ready to play a second-round series because the Rangers last night beat the Penguins in 7. And Mikey joins us right now, fresh off a night at the Garden to remember. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Rangers in 7. A little tired, but I can't complain. We're moving on to the next round.
You know, Mikey, you never complain, and that's the most amazing thing about you. And I have to tell you, you know, being sick last week and you texting me and trying to keep me upbeat, I mean, that was awesome, and you're true. You said it, Rangers in 7, it came through. Why were you so confident?
To be honest with you, Booms, this team has battled back through adversity all year. So they had so many comeback wins, and I was just super confident that there was no way Igor Shesterkin could continue to play the subpar play that he was. He had a tough time in Pittsburgh. I completely understand his first playoff series. But I knew at the end of the day, the Vezina finalist, Igor Shesterkin, was going to come out to play, and that's what you saw last night in Game 7.
What was it like being in that building, as crazy as it was in overtime and the game winner from Panarin? Just, well, I guess the whole night, what was that like?
Oh, my God. It was absolutely electric. I've never been to a Game 7 in any type of sporting event. And for it to be the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, for an overtime victory, I had my cake. I ate it, too. And it was just a great night.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even, you know, understand from your perspective, being as positive as you were about this, showing up there, watching this game in person, having them come back, you know, with 4 minutes to go, tying the game, and then to win it. I mean, I just can't even imagine your emotions and how you were feeling. I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest games you've ever been to, if not the greatest game you've ever been to.
I was about to say, gee, I think that's the greatest game I've ever been to. Never been to a Game 7 before. The atmosphere is unmatched. And playoff hockey is by far the best hockey. Like Boom said, playoff hockey is like cocaine. It's addictive. And it sure as hell is, and it's the best playoff in Austin.
You know, I didn't say it was like cocaine. Barstool did. I just agreed with them. That's all. I just want to make sure and keep that clear. Hey, you know, Mikey, your buddy Eric LeGrand just opened a coffee shop over in Woodbridge, huh?
Yes, he did. I went and checked it out Saturday. He's going to be doing great things there. Nothing can stop Big E. That is my man. That is my mentor, my inspiration, and I'm so proud of him.
You know, we'll get you a coffee shop. Where do you want to open one? Or maybe he'll sell your franchise.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, when we're going to open a second one, let me be a partner, and it's all good.
Well, it's great talking to you, Mikey. I'm so happy you were able to get to the game, and you got a lot more playoff hockey to watch. So congratulations on a tremendous win for your team last night.
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call, guys. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. That's Mikey Nichols, of course, where you and Craig got to know him when he first suffered his spinal cord injury playing hockey, and you had him in here, and you started the Mikey Strong charity hockey game that we continued here from Boomer and Carton to Boomer and Geo. Craig's still with a relationship with Mikey. We still have a relationship with Mikey. He is the most positive person I've been around, and that's why I wasn't surprised when he was the one who texted you Rangers in seven. I mean, with him, it's not touching the money. It's just his personality. It's just who he is. So,
well, like I said, well, you said he was a hockey player himself, so he knows the game better than I do. I mean, he lived it. He still lives it. And he had a lot of belief in Igor. And, you know, it's easy to say that Igor didn't play well in those games. But in those games, much like last night, he was not getting a lot of help. I mean, you know, there were so many point-blank shots and shots from the slot and guys, you know, so much open ice. And this is the thing that bothers me sometimes is that, you know, you want the players to have freedom. I understand that. But you also, you know, you got to have some sort of defensive cohesiveness and system. And, you know, it's interesting watching, like, the Boston Bruin game against the Hurricanes. The Bruins, you know, defensively made a couple of mistakes. And in between the periods, you know, they're actually talking. Chris Chelios is talking about the mistakes that the Bruin defensemen were making in their own zone and how they were just basic mistakes that they would normally make. And the Rangers do it constantly. And I know it's a lot has to do with their youth. There's no question about it. You know, from Fox, Miller, and Braden Schneider, you know, have all made key errors in this series, or did make key errors in this series, but they also came up with big plays. You know, it's like that's the excruciating part of it. You'd like them to tighten it up a little bit defensively, but then again, they're told, you know, be more aggressive offensively and try to keep the puck in the zone, and when they don't, that off wing's got to be back there, and it's why we get so many breakaways. This is why we get so many, you know, two-on-ones and things against us, and this is where Igor has got to make the save, and last night against Malkin, he didn't make the save. You know, I just, you know, I saw that, and, you know, and unfortunately for Filipetto, much like for Jacob Trouba in the game before, you know, you try to make a blue line side-to-side pass, and all of a sudden there's a guy in between you and the guy you're trying to throw the puck to, and they break down the middle of the ice, and they intercept the puck, and those things can happen, you know, and I thought, I saw Gerard Gallant actually.
Yeah, where are you at with him right now? I mean, you still can't stand the guy or what? Because the last time we talked to you, you were all over his ass.
Well, because the goalie keeps. And again, last night, the goalie was hung out to dry. They had 40 shots on goal last night. I mean, the Rangers had 30. I think it was 42-30 last night. There weren't as many giveaways, but like he's a player's coach. That's how he is described.
Yeah.
And as a player's coach, that means go out there, be yourself, don't worry about it. I'll try to hold you accountable. Now, he held Filipetto accountable a little bit last night. He sat him after he made that mistake. And, you know, quite frankly, that could hurt Filipetto because I think Filipetto's been playing great. That line, those young kids have been playing great together.
Sure, yeah, the kid line,
and,
yeah.
And by the way, you know, if you weren't, so the national broadcast on TNT or wherever it was.
TBS last night.
Okay. So they were talking. I wasn't watching. I was watching, you know, Sam and Joe. But they were talking about after the Mika Zibanejad goal, maybe the key sequence in there, I think somewhere in there, Lafreniere took the helmet off of Pettersson, who had to get to the bench. As soon as your helmet falls off, you got to go to the bench no matter where you are on the ice, no matter what the situation is. And Letang came on the ice late. And, you know, that was a key sequence in that, like, event. There's so many things that are going on in a particular play. And when a goal is scored, you could look at all 10 guys or eight guys or seven guys on the ice. And you could see who's in place, who's not in place. And that may have been a key sequence that Lafreniere, without even knowing that he was playing a key role, you know, played a key role and end up, you know, Andrew Kopp fighting like a dog on the boards. And I want to keep that guy, by the way.
Yeah,
I want
was he his contract team. Up at the end of the year?
Yeah, so he's an unrestricted free agent. I could see the Islanders trying to get him.
Interesting.
I want that guy on our team.
Well,
this kid is a bulldog.
Let's go to Anthony, who's in Comac. What's going on, Anthony?
Yo, Gio, what's going on? Boomer, how you guys doing?
Great, Anthony. What do you got for us, man?
So I want to talk about
the way this team, Boomer can attest to this team has grown up before our eyes in this series. Shesterkin made more saves in this series than any other goalie in Ranger history in seven games, and he got pulled twice. That's how great he has been. The defense has been a little bit rough, but I mean, listen, this is just so exciting to watch Kako Kapo, the way he can handle the puck on the boards. I have no words. I'm just so excited to watch them, and this is just something great to see, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the way I looked at this is, you know, the Rangers came in favored. They got blitzed in the beginning. That Louis Domingue thing was really pissing me off, quite frankly, because there's no way that he should have been playing the way he was. And then he completely fell apart like I expected him to when he crumbled. And then the Penguins did get Sidney Crosby back and Tristan Jarry back in Game 7. And they were down. And to me, the most impressive that I'd seen the Rangers in this series was last night, late in the third period, with their backs up against the wall, you know, winning that hockey game. I mean, yeah, they got a penalty and they got a power play in overtime and whatever. They buried it, and their best player, who was someone who you'd been waiting for a moment like that to happen, did it. So if you want to say that they grew up in this series, sure. There's no doubt about it. I mean, being down 3-1, being the only team in NHL history to ever come back in every one of those games tells you something about the core of this group. So we'll see how far it continues. But, I mean, if this is just year one of what this team can be, because remember, it was a new regime that came in, new front office, everything else, a lot of new faces, a lot of big change. If this is year one of what this can be, it's a damn good start.
Well, you know, Igor Shesterkin, man, that's all I can tell you. He made, the previous caller said, made more saves in this series than any other Ranger goalie in the history of playoff series. You know, and by the way, Jake Oettinger of the Stars last night stopped 64 shots. 64! And they went into overtime, and the game winner went over his shoulder from almost down by the goal line. But you know, these goalies are amazing, and our goalie in particular, the last five games has been under siege. Now, I believe we should have won game one. I also believe last night there was a puck that Jake Guentzel was amazing in this series. He's a great hockey player. He kicks the puck up to himself,
right,
which was ridiculous. And then I do believe it was a high stick. Now, I also believe that if it were called a high stick, no goal, I don't think they would have overturned it. But since they allowed it to be a goal, that it was too close to overturn it. You know, we've been there through football, and then we're here with hockey. There's got to be definitive evidence that it's either a high stick or it's not. It looks like it's under the crossbar, but
I don't know, the stick is clearly above
the shoulders.
I mean, different angles. I mean, to me, it looks like it's over the crossbar in the first angle that CBS Sports Network showed that they were showing last night. The angle from behind to the right is questionable, but that first angle that they showed, to me, it looks like, I don't know, I thought it was.
Is that ridiculous, though?
I mean, it's just amazing in that moment how fast everything is to kick the puck up to you and be able to do that and score a goal in a game seven is just remarkable.
You know, the other thing I will say about it, I was talking about Keandre Miller. You know, this kid can really become a great, great player. He's got to get a little bit stronger. He got stronger this year compared to last year. Diligent with the puck on his stick, but man, when he gets going, he's going to be great. He is going to be great. He and Adam Fox and Ryan Lindgren and Braden Schneider, that's going to be our defensive guys if we can keep them financially, you know, over the next 4 or 5 years at least. They are all going to be. And Adam Fox already won, you know, obviously the Norris Trophy. But, man, you get these three other guys, this is going to be a good defense for years to come, assuming no injuries, and they learn from the mistakes that they're making. But you also don't want to take away their natural instincts to do what, like Keandre did last night in overtime. You know, make that stick puck or make the stick check, pop the puck away, go get it, force a penalty. And then the Rangers went on, you know, this high-powered power play. So, I mean, that was an unbelievable play by Keandre, and it led to the ultimate win.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Brewer Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Coming up in just over an hour, we're giving away Yankees field-level tickets, 8:25 this morning. So don't miss that as we do that every single day, 8:25 more Yankees field-level tickets. We all know what happened last night at Madison Square Garden. If you didn't, Jerry's going to tell you about all of it. And even if you did, you probably want to relive it if you are a Ranger fan. Good morning, Jerry. What's going on this hour?
Well, good morning. Powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. We are also brought to you by Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games on your phone. Last hour, you got the game winner from Sam Rosen on MSG. Kenny Albert, also a Ranger play-by-play announcer, was doing the game on TBS.
Now, Panera looking. Here's Fox. Panera, right wing shot.
That was it. They let the crowd roll for quite a while. Kenny Albert on TBS and Boomer having his fun as well. A little inappropriate, but if that's what you want to do, I certainly understand. Panarin, the game winner. Mika Zibanejad, the game tying goal in the third period. Rangers win and advance as they take Game 7 in overtime. Andrew Kopp, a couple of assists in this game. He was on TBS. How cool was that, Game 7?
Yeah, unreal, especially going into overtime. You dream about these games, dream of them at places like MSG. So for us to come out made it that much more special, and we're already looking forward to the second round.
And they had an NFL Today-like panel on TBS. Boy, I tell you, there was about 15 people on that day.
They had five or six people.
Obviously, you have not watched any games on TBS.
No, I watched every game on MSG, but I did flip over there just to see if there was some disappointing Penguins reaction as opposed to just positive Ranger reaction, because sometimes I like seeing the disappointing team that loses and what they have to say and all that stuff. When I flipped over there, I was like, I mean, how many people can you jam at the one desk? I mean, for
well, you know, my boy Paul Pissonette, you know, spitting chiclets is, yeah, all over Ranger fans. He hates the Rangers, hates Ranger fans, thinks that we know too much, or we think we know too much.
Yeah.
And we are pesky. We're a pain in the ass. And plus, he was rooting for Toronto. Who's looking forward to next year already?
Yeah.
Again. And again.
Rick
and again.
Tockett, a former Penguin coach, the whole deal.
He hates the Rangers. They all hate the Rangers, so unless they play for the Rangers.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and Anson Carter was sitting there.
Well, he loves the Rangers.
Right, but to kind of balance it out. But outside of that, there was a couple Ranger haters up on that panel, for sure.
Well, I think Bissonnette or something, I think I saw something he put out there where he has to shave his head or something. I don't know. Something about the Maple Leafs and his love for the Maple Leafs. I don't know.
Who the hell knows?
He's got an angle. It's just the angle in regards to the Rangers sucks.
Here was Zibanejad on TBS. So that game-tying goal late in the third period, about 5.5 minutes left. So is that the biggest goal you've ever scored?
Probably, yeah. We kept saying, just put the puck in the net, try to get going. We didn't have much to say for, so it was nice to see it going.
See, they know too, just like the fans.
Mike Zibanejad.
I'll tell you what, his two goals in Game 6 were ridiculous. They were so fast, and they exploded off of his stick. It was like Ovechkin-like. And this one, he was a little bit closer. But the great pass by Andrew Kopp. Great pass.
You had Panarin with the game winner as we played for you. Here was his head coach, Gerard Gallant, as he does get the game winner in OT.
He's the guy, when I was in overtime, I said to myself, I know who's going to score. If we score, if we get the winning goal, it's going to be him.
And he was right. That's exactly who it was.
Easy to say after the fact.
Well, of course. And then you had the Penguins. Al and I actually did discuss this in the warm-up show, 5 to 6 Monday through Friday. We were talking about the Penguins, the Gensel goal. That I did not like at all. Here was Gallant.
I thought it was a high stick, but it was really close. When they call a goal on the ice, they have to review it in Toronto, and they review it and look at it. And then we're always told, if it's close, it's going to be a good goal. And it was close. I still think it was a little bit of a high stick, but we don't have to worry about that. It was perfect.
No, you do not.
Well, those guys up in Toronto are so ticked off that the Maple Leafs didn't win.
That they wanted the Rangers out.
Well, they wanted Sidney Crosby to move on. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what? Gary Bettman gets mad at me when I talk this way. But, you know, this is the fan that's coming out in me. You know that.
I totally understand.
I can't be objective in this regard. I just can't. Well,
clearly not.
Rangers.
That was a screw the Ranger button moment if there ever was one.
Well, I thought we had a couple of them in this series, yes.
Well, I mean, this one was the latest one. I mean, in game one, Capo Caco is pushed from behind.
Let me tell you something. You cannot tell me that the screw the Ranger button is going to be out in a series against the Carolina Hurricanes.
It better not be.
Because if the NHL would prefer the Carolina Hurricanes to move on over the Rangers, then there's dumb a league as I've ever heard of in my life.
You know what? Let's just wait and see. There will be moments. I will have the button ready. And I will put it out there when I feel that it's necessary.
There should not be moments for that against the Hurricanes. I'm with G on this one.
The Hurricanes.
I mean, there were at least three or four times where they could have called penalties on the Penguins last night where they didn't call them. And I understand it's a game seven. You don't want to give one team,
in overtime.
That's right.
So.
But it was too obvious. He had to call it.
But still, he did. I mean, you have to call that. You were just saying how the Penguins should have been called for penalties and didn't.
Oh, they should have had like 8 or 9 penalties last night. But they're not going to call it. So it's part of hockey. I understand. As a hockey fan, I understand that. The other thing about a hockey series is that a goaltender can steal games. And Igor stole a game last night. He stole a game. There's no two ifs, ands, or buts about it.
For Shesterkin.
And by the way, did he get a star last night? Do you know, Jerry?
I don't know.
How do you not know that?
Nobody cares about the three stars.
You know what? That guy should have had all three stars.
Three stars.
I don't know. But I do know they play the Hurricanes next. I know.
Jerry,
you know what? It's a big thing. When you're at the arena, it's a big thing. When you're watching a game on TV, it's not.
And by the way, your Devil's got the second overall pick in the draft coming up again.
I am aware.
So what happens when you suck for so long, you keep getting, high picks like the Rangers.
Okay. Game one Wednesday. Flames beat the Stars in overtime, 3-2. Johnny Gaudreau with the game-winning goal there. Yankees, White Sox in Chicago. Yankees had already at least had a split of the series, having taken 2 of 3. Game four to the Yankees as well.
And the pitch gets away from McGuire. Here comes another run. So Trevino scores, and the Yankees now take a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, a lousy set. Yankees score 3 in that second. One wild pitch and a couple of bases-loaded walks. What was that?
That was a boomer burp, I believe.
No cough button home, huh?
No, well, you know what? There's a lot of stuff going on over here.
I'm hanging
in there, boys.
You know, as he tries, is his road back to recovery. When are you allowed back in here, by the way? Have you decided that? Have you talked to the powers that be? Oh, it is Wednesday. Okay. All right, good.
I get the CBS up front on Wednesday, too.
Oh, really? You got to show up at that. So you definitely got to be healthy for that one.
Got to look good. Got to stand next to Phil Simms so I look good.
Joey Gallo, a two-run homer in the ninth. 5-1 Yankees win. They're 25-9. Here's Josh Donaldson. Yeah, we scored a few in that second wild inning.
It looked like he lost it for a little bit. You know, it was pretty erratic all around the strike zone. And, you know, we did a good job laying out some tough pitches. And
scoring runs. And Donaldson, a couple of good plays in the field as well. Here's Boone. How about Gallo on that two-run homer?
Yeah, more good at-bats today. You know, big walk in the three-run inning. And obviously, you know, an exclamation point there in the end to kind of give us a little cushion.
Nice,
breathing
nice,
room.
Long home
you know,
run, yeah.
You know what? when the pitcher accidentally hits his bat, it actually goes really far.
That is true. He is a
strong
dude.
Does, man. It's all or nothing. We knew that when he came here, and he's certainly kept up with that reputation.
Nestor Cortes Jr., the win. One run, three hits, seven strikeouts over his 80s. 2-1 ERA of 1.35. So the 25-9 Yankees are in Baltimore to play the Orioles tonight. Luis Severino makes the start. As for the Mets, the Mariners came in and took the series finale yesterday, 8-7, back-and-forth game. Cal Raleigh, the game go-ahead two-run home run, the sixth. Julio Rodriguez, game-tying home run. Mets came back, got to within one in the last inning. You had Pete Alonso up with the bases loaded, but he struck out. Diego Castillo struck him out on a slider low and away, so that be that. Here was Brandon Nimmo. That is a series loss for the Mets. They're not used to that.
Unfortunate to lose the first series of the year, it's probably going to happen at some point. So got it out of the way, and now we can move forward.
Here was Alonso. Says, we're getting there. We're okay, even though the offense hasn't been great.
I feel like that collectively we've been doing an extremely good job swinging the bats. It's just I feel like that we're almost there, you know. I feel like once we kind of get going full tilt, it's going to be extremely fun.
Extremely fun and an extremely good job. First series loss for the season for the Mets. Tyler McGill, 15-day IL, inflamed right bicep. Mets Cardinal, who gets plunked tonight?
Or yeah, I know. Over? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's over at
Where's
this point.
Where's Chesty Tapp? What's his name?
Stumpy Clap.
No, not
Cap?
Stubby.
Stubby. Stubby Clap?
Stubby Clap, I think.
Stubby Clap, yeah. I don't know. I mean, the Mets still thinking about it?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Like, I've kind of forgotten about it.
Well, we'll see.
I've moved on personally, Jerry. I don't know if the Mets have.
Well, we're not the Mets. Trevor Williams makes the start tonight. Also, you had the Dodgers beat the Phillies 5-4. Pirates got no hit, yet they beat the Reds 1-0, because that makes sense. And I guess it's not technically a no-hitter. Now, I have this question. So they don't call it a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. The game story doesn't refer to it as a no-hitter because it's only eight innings. Then why do we talk about Andy Hawkins' no-hitter from 1990 when it was eight innings? Because they lost.
I don't know. Maybe things have changed. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there was a rule change. Sometime it was like considered a no-hitter. Now it is not.
Oh, so the Hawkins one's come off the board.
Yes. Somewhere, analytic geek somewhere came up with some stupid formula or algorithm that basically doesn't allow this to happen.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Some dweeb.
Some stratomatic.
Baseball, stratomatic, dripping dweeb. Yeah.
I wonder if Evan was involved with that.
He should be. I mean, he should be on some sort of panel somewhere to decide these things.
Never know. Never know. Maybe he is. NBA playoffs. How about the Dallas Mavericks, who go into Phoenix game 7 and just wipe the floor clean with the Suns?
Doncic up the left side against Johnson. Spins left. Steps back. Three-pointer. Good! Shaking his head. Bobbing his head. Feeling it. 54-27, the Mavericks have doubled up the Suns in the first half of Game 7.
And they were just getting warmed up. I believe they led by as much as 46 in this game on the road in Phoenix, and they wind up winning 123-90.
And what's going on with DeAndre Ayton?
I don't know. Monty Williams just said internal. That's all he would say.
Internal.
He played 17 minutes. They asked him why. He says internal decision.
That means got to be late to meetings, making mistakes, not playing defense. You know, they had to hold him accountable.
Yeah,
you know, maybe at the expense of winning a game here. I don't know.
Jeez.
Something along those lines. And you know, he's a young man too. You know, maybe he doesn't have his priorities straight. Maybe he thinks he's Kyrie Irving.
Tough time not to have his priorities straight. You get it. Here's Devin Booker. Definitely a tough game to struggle in. He did not shoot it well at all.
You know, you can have those nights during the regular seasons, and you have them here and there where a shot can't fall and they're hitting every shot. And, you know, I think it just happened to be, you know, the wrong timing on it in the game 7.
It's just amazing.
Did Chris Paul just only attempt 8 field goals?
Yes, correct. He pulled a Harden.
All right, so where is Chris Paul in all this? I mean,
where he always is, you know, on teams underachieving in the playoffs. I mean, it's almost like it's just the same old story with him, and that's what's going to be the talk of all the people breaking down the NBA is how he didn't get it done again. And on a team that was a one seed.
He had some great games in this series.
He did. Yeah, but, you know, it's like everybody's seen these great games in these earlier rounds or whatever else, but then when it comes down to it, he's either hurt or having games like this in elimination games.
It's Devin Booker miss a bunch of games in this series?
Not in this series. Yeah, but earlier. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. This too much, like, he was deferring. Look, I watched this that Sixers game. I mean, James Harden didn't even want to be on the court.
Yeah. You don't say.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, you know, that's embarrassing. I mean, that is like a disgrace.
That's okay. He said he's ready to be back next year.
Yeah, fine. Whatever, you want to be on the court. Takes.
How about Jimmy Butler? Jimmy Butler wants to be on the court, man. Mm-hmm. That guy, I wish the Knicks had a guy like that. That's the guy that I would pay for.
He had something to prove beating his old team for sure.
Oh, man, and man, he stuffed it right in their faces.
And they will love it. They'll get the Celtics now in the Eastern Conference Finals because Milwaukee had a game plan, and that was to take away a couple of the big Boston players and let other guys beat them. Well, the other guys did beat them.
Grant lines up a three. Got it. They're daring him. Grant Williams is saying, you have to be the hero, and he's starting to knock him down. His fifth three of game seven. Boston by 13.
Grant Williams with 27 points. Celtics blew out the Bucks 109-81. Most of that in the second half. They take the series in seven. Yes, Jason Tatum had 23 and 8 assists, but Williams was the star. Ime Udoka, the message to Williams.
Don't let it fly. They're disrespecting you more tonight than earlier in the series, and that was the plan on him and other guys.
And he beat them for sure.
How about Udoka? How about him as a coach?
Yeah, he's done pretty good. Yeah,
Oh, man, where was he before this?
He was with the Nets. Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's right. He probably didn't fit the culture of the Nets or something. I'm not really sure.
I don't even know what to say.
Best finals matchup, Warriors-Celtics. For sure, obviously.
Yeah, you know, there is some intrigue, though, to this Mavericks team with Luka Doncic. I know it's not Golden State and the war, but it's still, I don't think you lose with having Luka there.
I don't think you lose having, you know, Miami's a little bit, they don't score as easily as some of these other teams. Man, but they get in your face. This series between the Heat and the Celtics is going to be, it's going to be like a hockey series. You know, they're going to be all over each other.
And that will start tomorrow night with Game 1.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Recent history of ineptitude with the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs, and you know, there's lots of times they don't make the playoffs, and when they do, they can't win a series. But to see the video of the Maple Leaf fans turning on one another and just knocking each other out was just incredible. I mean, I understand that you're drunk and you're mad, but to turn on each other like that, I mean, that's not what you need up there, right? I mean, have we gotten to that point of disappointment and anger with the Toronto Maple Leafs that they have to fight one another after a loss? My Lord.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that you bring that up because, you know, I have this hockey team that I play for, the Long Island Wasps.
Yeah.
And on our team is we have a Toronto Maple Leaf huge fan. So big, in fact, that I remember we were on one of our hockey trips up north of the border, up in Canada somewhere. And this was the year that the Maple Leafs had won the lottery, which means that they were going to be able to select Austin Matthews.
Okay. Who's obviously had a phenomenal career. Yeah.
Right. This guy, Matt Ardley, started crying. He was crying. He was so happy.
He cried.
That they were able to get Austin Matthews.
Is he from Toronto, or is he just one of the guys that likes the Maple Leafs?
No, he's from, I believe he's from Ottawa, actually. But he's a huge, a sick Maple Leaf fan. So, of course, we have a thread with all the guys on the team and everything. And we're all fans. Like, you know, you got Islander fans, you got Ranger fans, and you got this Maple Leaf fan that's out there on an island. So, they lose the other night. And my man Aaron over at the Jets says, hey, I think we should send Matt Ardley a cameo from Sean Avery.
Nice.
So, of course, I can't play it. I wish we could play it. Yeah. It's just hilarious.
That's very funny. You sent it to me. Very funny. He's great at that, Sean Avery.
Yes, and he just absolutely tortures, you know, the Leafs, the Leaf fan, and the whole thing. It's, you know, it's kind of like what Bissonnette does to the Ranger fan.
Sure.
And, you know, Bissonnette tends to forget that the Ranger fans, and you, if you remember, I think it was when you were together, it was either you, I can't remember if you were and I were together when we actually were trying to get fans to vote for him to go to the All-Star game.
Yeah, that was pre-me, I think.
All right, so it was probably me and Craig then.
Yeah.
And so we were pushing, or at least I was, pushing fans to vote for him to get him in the All-Star game. And I'm sure our Rangers, Islanders, and Devils fan bases all probably voted, you know, for Bissonnette just to put him in the All-Star game and let him have his moment. And he tends to forget that. So Sean Avery tortures Leafs fans and probably Devils fans and Islander fans while Bissonnette tortures Ranger fans.
That's right. And where do they do that studio show from? It has to be here, right?
I think it's in Atlanta.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah, okay. I think it's down there in Atlanta. You know, I don't know if they use the same studio. I don't think they use the same studio as the NBA guys. They may.
Oh, all right.
But they built out a, you know, I think they did a great job in terms of spending the money and building it right, and it looks right, and it feels good. And Bissonnette, you know, has got a great personality, and that's why his podcast, Spittin' Chiclets, and all that stuff is pretty funny.
Sure, he's got a huge social media following. He did when he was a player. It's even grown since his post-playing career, and he was having some fun last night,
Well, I don't know, having fun. I mean, he's basically effing the Ranger fan.
Well, I mean, he was singing. Like, I don't know if you saw him. He started singing.
Well, yeah, I saw that, but I'm just on social media, his podcast, he's killing the Ranger fan.
Right, right.
Killing us.
You can't expect everybody to love you, Boomer, you know?
Well, I know. I understand that. And that's, you know, and you talk about that. That's going to be the interesting thing for Tom Brady. Because you say whatever you want about him on the field, everybody respects him, everybody loves him. Most people, 98%. 2% of the Jet fans probably hate him because they feel like they cheated and all this other stuff. But, you know, when you get into that booth, man, and you start hemming and hawing, you know, you're not going to be beloved.
Oh, yeah. That's Jason Witten. I mean, there's your perfect example right there. No one had a bad word to say about Jason Witten as a Cowboy. Everybody thought he was the greatest and the greatest interview in the world and got in that booth and threw up all over himself.
I heard Brady's doing a Jet-Patriots game.
Oh, my God.
If he ever is. And, by the way, he may, because next year, the AFC is not going to be tied to CBS, and the NFC is not going to be tied to Fox. It's going to be more of an up-for-grabs type of thing when it comes to scheduling.
All right, interesting. Did you have any takeaways from the NFL schedule that you felt were important? Because that was another thing that last week we spent a lot of time on. I do think, I mean, it was interesting that the Jets start with all four AFC North teams. I did find that interesting. And I do think that the Giants' schedule right now, as we sit here and what we know, which is always a dangerous game, but is somewhat favorable. I mean, they've got the league's worst teams spread out throughout the schedule as on paper right now. We don't always know. But I did think that the Giants' schedule looked better than the Jets, but I think the Jets will still be better than the Giants.
I'll tell you, I don't see Deshaun Watson playing at the beginning of the season for the Browns. I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, that means the Jets are going to be playing two teams in that division that are going to be starting with new quarterbacks.
That's right.
And you also have, you know, to me, the Ravens are not the Ravens of the past. They're just not. They're defensively, they're not. And offensively, you know, Marquise Brown wanted out of that offense because their passing game sucks. And now, when I saw that, I said, man, the Jets can win three out of those four games, assuming that Mekhi Becton and Zach Wilson are ready to rock and roll starting week one.
A lot of articles out there about Zach Wilson, man, about how good he looks, the shape he's in, everybody talking him up. I mean, none of it means a damn thing. But there was another ESPN.com article about Zach Wilson over the weekend that I read about how it's the weight training and how he looks and Rob Sala drooling over him and everything else.
Was that a Cimini article?
You know what? I have to go back and see.
Was it actually positive? There was a little positive out of the Cimini article?
It must have been him. I would have been surprised if it were somebody else. I'll have to go back and see exactly who it was. But, I mean, people are gushing about the dude. I mean, it's all about year two with Zach Wilson. Let's see.
Well, they've built around him. This is what you need to do. And they've done it,
It was a Cimini, yeah. It was a Cimini.
All right. I think they've done it perfectly. Now it's up to him. When they step on that field, where are his nerves? Where's his maturity? And it's kind of like watching the young Ranger defenseman. You know, they have to grow up before our eyes like they are. They're going to make mistakes. But they're going to have those moments where you say, wow, they're going to be really good someday because they'll have their total game and they'll understand the entire, you know, quickness and the physicality of the game. And it's the same thing for an NFL quarterback.
All right, so we've got a bunch of Ranger calls that are lining up right now. Ranger fans waking up, maybe getting in the car, going to work, wanting to talk about the game. So we will get to them next, give them the proper time to gloat on a morning after a Game 7 victory over the Penguins coming back from a 3-1 deficit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.